Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Voice of the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots living in a world that is coming apart at the seams. But there is hope, isn't there? This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week, and welcome to this edition of The Voice of the American Redoubt. We got a guest coming on later on in the show here in just a little bit, and this is very timely for the things that we are facing as a nation right here, even in the American Redoubt. We are not unaffected by the agenda, the globalists, the anti-Americans that are trying to destroy our once great nation. Well, they've actually done it, but that's why American patriots are strategically relocating, physically moving to regions that are ultra-conservative. The American Redoubt is on the leading edge of that movement, and more are moving here all the time. Welcome to those of you who have strategically relocated to the American Redoubt, and to several of you who I've spoken with who are in town right now in the process of acquiring property, getting homes, getting ready to get your families moved in to the area. But we've got to be engaged, folks. You cannot just move here and think to yourself how conservative and wonderful and beautiful it is and then check out. Because I'll keep saying it, what you left is on your heels and right behind you. Now, most of the people that are strategically relocating, they know that. They're trying to warn everybody here that's asleep. The patriots that are asleep at the wheel because they feel like they're safe. Norman Rockwell America is over. And there is a fight for our existence, for our values, for our heritage. And you need to be prepared for that, patriots. But you need to also know that you're not alone. There are many, many like you that feel the same pressures. And that's why we are here talking about this stuff. Now, speaking of getting involved, before I get into the news, there are a couple of events taking place today. In fact, there's a few, but one I didn't get all the information on in time. There was a Right to Life rally in Spokane. But what I do have is the Old Paths Christian History Conference, which is taking place today until 9 p.m. tonight at the Red Lion at Templin's with Pastor Chuck Baldwin, Pastor John Weaver, and several other speakers that are talking about our American heritage. And that is going on right now, today, Saturday, in Post Falls at the Red Lion. You can go to lordshipchurch.org and look that up under their coming events. And there's another thing going on this evening that I will be at both of these events. This evening at 1700 to 1800 hours, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Coeur d'Alene at the City Park, there is going to be an Idaho Second Amendment Alliance rally for constitutional carry legislation. And Patriots, Representative Heather Scott, Idaho, and Representative Matt Shea, Washington, and Sheriff Daryl Wheeler from Bonner County are going to be three of the main speakers there. And they're asking for all patriots to gather to stand united, especially in this time right now. Second Amendment issues, they are coming for your guns, guns blazing. No pun intended. No, maybe I did. But anyway, be involved in those. Make your voices, make your presence be known. The numbers are very important. Okay, well, without further ado, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Author. and lawyer Glenn Tate from the 299 Days book series about the collapse of America and the rebuilding, which is what we're focused on. Make it through and then rebuild on the other end, right? And all 10 books are out, including the audio files. Those are out. So from AP, UPI, and the major American networks, the news is next right here with commentary thrown in here and there, mostly. Okay, what do we got going? Let's go overseas first. Senior U.S. military leaders and defense officials are debating whether military force should be used to protect Washington-backed Syrian freedom fighters. In other words, terrorists, Al-Qaeda, which have many have splintered off to form ISIS. Well, these freedom fighters are coming under attack by Russian airstrikes. Of course, they're disputing that, saying that they're going after the freedom fighters and not ISIS, as Putin said. You can trust no one these days, right? The Associated Press reported early Friday that the question was part of a broader debate within the Pentagon about the broader dilemma of how the administration should respond to do what White House Press Secretary Josh Ernst described as Russia's indiscriminate military operations against the Syrian opposition. I don't think that's indiscriminate. I think they're executing this with prejudice. Tensions between the U.S. and Russia are escalating because, of course, you've got two communists from, you know, a different flavor that looking sideways at each other between Obama, the globalist communist, and Putin, the nationalist Russian communist, serving to strengthen Syrian President Bashar Assad by targeting the so-called moderate rebels. They're calling them anything that's not ISIS is a moderate rebel, I guess. And now the headlines are starting to read things like Putin knows Obama is all talk and no action. Now, if that isn't stirring the pot. So this is a great way to get somebody like Obama to do something really dumb, is for all the mainstream media to say Putin knows Obama's just a windbag and he won't do anything. Well, now Obama's got to try to prove that's not the case. And this is where heads get broke. And guess what? We Americans pay the price. Of course, remember, keep in mind, Christian patriots, this is spiritual warfare. The things that are going on, all the pieces on the board that are being manipulated, this is happening on the spiritual realm. We see it manifested in the physical by nations, militaries, military action. We see summits, we see conferences, we see heads of state, we see the news headlines. What you're seeing is the manifestation of what's actually going on behind the curtain, the spiritual curtain. So don't forget that. Don't forget that when you see leadership doing things that are destructive and dumb. How could they possibly do that? How could they be so blind? How could this be? It's because this is spiritual warfare. There is a veil of deception over the eyes of many people, including leaders. And we have to stay solid in our faith all through this. Do not look to any man or any leader with any solution that's going to be lasting if they are not guided by God, the Lord, Jehovah. Now, for the latest edition of the Chronicles of the Death of America and the never-ending globalist quest for building the 21st century utopia, Chris Ann Hall, constitutional lawyer and patriot, first broke this week. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced at the United Nations that her office would be working in several American cities, just to get started, to form what she called the Strong Cities Network. It's a law enforcement initiative that would encompass the globe. This amounts to nothing less than the overriding of American laws, up to and including the United States Constitution, in favor of the United Nations laws that would henceforth be supplemented in the United States itself without any consultation of Congress at all. Several places are running this story This is right from Breitbart right here. The United Nations is a Sharia-compliant world body, and Obama, speaking there just days ago, insisted that, quote, violent extremism. They won't call it jihadi terrorists. It's violent extremism. Of course, spoken by the same administration that declared right-wing extremists are the biggest national threat, besides climate change, of course. He said it's not exclusive to Islam, which it is. Obama is redefining jihad terror to include everyone but the jihadists. So will the UN, driven largely by the Sharia Enforcing Organization of Islamic Cooperation. That's the OIC. Do you guys know about that? There's a part of the UN called the OIC. It's the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. They drive. They have so much voting power for driving these policies. And the pro-Islamic post-American President Obama used a global police force to crush counter-jihad forces, question mark. Do you really think he will? No. After all, with Obama knowingly aiding al-Qaeda forces in Syria, how likely is it that he will use his global police force against actual Islamic jihadists? Well, we're bringing in Islamic jihadists. Now the numbers are up to what? 200,000 refugees. That is legalized immigration. That is the recolonization of a culture that is completely in conflict with Americanism. They're bringing them in here and you're paying for it. Muslims. There is more. We're going to come back in a minute, talk about a little bit of gun control, and then we'll have our guest on, Barbara, from Pocket of Resistance. Stay right here. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here with your Eye on the Economy Minute. Do you remember the continuing resolution? Oh, you don't? Well, that's because it probably has been a very busy year with all the financial news and commentaries I bring you every week. But this next week could prove interesting again as the budget fight is beginning to ramp back up. Congress needs to pass a continuing resolution to avoid a government shutdown next week. But most Republicans are opposed to any sort of continuing resolution that doesn't strip the funding from Planned Parenthood. And now that Speaker Boehner is resigning, it could present some pretty interesting problems. One of the biggest amongst those is the Treasury. It needs to increase the debt limit in November. And that's before continuing any sort of resolution. Our credit card is maxed out and way beyond its limit. And the fact that the Treasury has kept the balance on the debt, especially on their balance sheet, frozen for the last few weeks, is proving just how deep in debt and how much trouble we're in. Want to hear more? Listen this Sunday as I break down the news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute with Fox 519.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. We are planning on resistance against tyranny. Join together, patriot Christians, locked arm in arm, focused on the mission ahead. And that is to make sure that we preserve our Judeo-Christian heritage, spread the gospel whenever we can, and to be light and salt on the earth, of the earth. This segment is brought to you by Werkz, W-E-R-K-Z.com. They custom make holsters and other gear. And speaking of concealed carry, And this is what I've been saying, Christian patriots. This, we're living in a brave new world. Go armed everywhere. And Works holsters, they'll make sure that you're able to carry concealed inside or outside the holster, outside the waistband holsters. They are an American Redoubt-based company with a lifetime guarantee. Give them, check them out. www.works.com. That's W-E-A-E-W-E-R-K-Z. Check them out. All right. Now, there's something really important that I wanted to cover before we went into the break, and then we're going to bring our guest on. You guys remember, I just watched kind of with fascination with the Blood Moon Shemitah thing, and people are all spun up, and they're all waiting for the end of the world and the lights to go out, and here comes the, you know, the EMP or the attack or the invasion or something, or cities are going to be nuked. Something big is going to happen, and then nothing happened. Or did it? This is what I didn't really cover this a whole lot on Radio Free Readout. I kind of stood back and watched at a distance, and I was kind of assessing this, and I'm thinking, you know what? When we try to put a date on something and we think we've got it all figured out, the Lord confounds us. He just like throws us a curveball. Don't think nothing happened, though, because what was happening during this Blood Moon Shemitah, very spiritual implications involved here, which is not unlike God to do. We've seen, you know, throughout the Word of God. I'm thinking something did happen. Something did happen we're not going to know about. And what was going on at the same time? Heads of state and world leaders and the Pope and all these people, communists, were all having private behind closed door meetings while the UN conference was kicking off. I'm like, we're in the middle of spiritual warfare. No nation rises or falls without the Lord's hand being involved in it. Something's going down. Something sneaky and sinister is happening behind closed doors right now. So don't think nothing happened. Don't go back to sleep. What was happening is they were planning the destruction of the West, of America, of anything that represents our Judeo-Christian values. These are different times that we're living in. And now with the shooting that took place, we're seeing this new trend. This is what I've been saying. Christians go armed everywhere. This shooter in Oregon specifically targeted Christians, asked them what their religion was. If they said Christian, they got a bullet to the head. The other ones got shot in the leg or other appendages. But you got it to the head. He was targeting Christians, no doubt about it. And the Lieutenant Governor Ramsey, he's encouraging fellow Christians to now get their gun permits. Oh, and the Democrats and the left are going berserk. They're accusing him of fear-mongering and religious crusading. Meanwhile, they're selling gun control based on fear-mongering. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, if you don't have a sword, remember when he said the first time you went out, all your needs were taken care of. You needed nothing. You went out without your backpack. You went out without your coat. You went out without knowing where you were going. I made sure you were fed. You were put up. You went with no money. This time is different, boys. This time, you take your purse, take your money. You're going to have to provide for yourself. You're going to have to be self-reliant this time around. Things are changing. In fact, if you don't have a sword, well, then you better go sell something, sell your cloak, and go buy one. Now, they said, hey, we got two right here. He says, well, that's enough. They weren't going to war. They were going out to minister to the world, and he knew it was going to be dangerous. He wanted them to have a means of self-defense because the way that things were changing. And that's what this governor is saying. We should do like the governor in Maine. I got to follow up on this. How'd that turn out? He signed a bill abolishing the permit requirements for carrying concealed. The Constitution is your concealed carry permit, which I agree with. That's what they're going to be talking about tonight at the rally in Coeur d'Alene. There's other news. There's other stuff. But I'm tired of depressing you on at least that front. We're going to talk about some other stuff that could be depressing, but you know what? There's also a plan of action. And this is what we need to be doing, not lamenting about how messed up everything is. We need to know what's going on for our situational awareness, but we also need to know there's an action plan that's required of us. So we're going to spend the next, the rest of the hour, well, at least on KTW, we're going to be spending the rest of the hour with our guest. And now remember, we're on the full ACN network all across Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, and Northern Idaho on the full ACN network until the half hour. And then you can join us over at the live streaming on KTW to listen to the rest, because you're going to want to hear what this guest has to say. She is an expert on this, well, it's a Muslim recolonization effort, what they're disguising as refugee resettlement. But that's not entirely true. Go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the listen now to find out how you can listen to the live streaming for the rest of the show every Saturday. But we have From the Pocket of Resistance. I love that name. Barbara is here, and she is a subject matter expert on the refugee resettlement. She was very much involved in California before she strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. She's very much involved in the illegal immigrant issue and fought that tooth and nail. Now we're faced with an even more pressing threat, a very real, tangible threat to Americanism, and that's refugee resettlement. We've got some people that are going to help us fight that. Barbara from North Idaho Pocket of Resistance, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you and I talked last night. Oh, I should have recorded that. There was so much stuff that we covered. Let's start off with this. The number's 200,000 new refugees that they're planning on bringing in, unvetted, unknown people, knowing that ISIS and Al-Qaeda have made it very clear their intentions to infiltrate through the refugee system to bring in jihad terrorists. But that's just Minnesota, right? That's just Dearborn, Michigan. That's big cities. That's not here in rural the American Redoubt, right?
Oh, of course not. and the number that was released, the program is fairly structured. And it's insidious because so much of it is done in secret, and I want to say that right from the beginning. The president has an obligation to produce a document which is his recommendation on the number of immigrants to be received, refugee immigrants to be received and resettled on October the 1st. And Barack Obama did do that. And his number is 85,000. So that is the current number. Now, what's significant is that those refugees are being selected by the United Nations, for the most part, there are some exceptions, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
Yes.
90%, well, actually, there's a number that's being bandied about that it's 97%. But I'm going to say 90% of those people are Muslims. And the vast majority for this fiscal year 2016, are probably going to be coming in from Syria, even though the assistant director for the FBI testified before Congress, I believe it was in February, asking that we not resettle Syrians. It's a fail state, and there's no way to vet these individuals. And a very good analogy that I heard recently was that it's when you vet someone that's coming in from another country, or you have a database that you query. You ask the database, do you know this person? And the reality in Syria is the database is empty. So they can query it from now until doomsday, but they will never know.
Well, and it's also my understanding many of them do not have last names. Of course, the overwhelming majority, military age, single men. And that music means that we're going into the break already. My goodness, the time just flies. It's not fair. But much more when we come back. We're going to spend the next half hour talking about this. And this is coming to a neighborhood near you, Patriots, in the American Redoubt. Stand by. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back with Barbara in just a moment.
Wonder how we got to this point in America when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
We are back, and we are broadcasting live across the Eastern Washington, Spokane, and North Idaho area right now. And we are streaming live to all of the rest of you out there across the American Redoubt and outside the wire in occupied territory. Thank you for tuning in. You know, there's this this word, resistance, and I want to put that into proper perspective because I really like this name, Pocket of Resistance. And we have to remember also as Christians, remember, this should always be prayerful, righteous, it should be righteous resistance in a godly way, never out of a spirit of rebellion, not rebelliousness, but resistance. We are to resist the devil. We are supposed to resist sin. We're supposed to do justice. We are supposed to intercede for the poor, for the orphan. We are supposed to help those, but we are supposed to resist evil. And what's happening is evil. This is very calculated, as Barbara was saying. And we have our guest, Barbara, from Pocket of Resistance, North Idaho Pocket of Resistance, talking about this very calculated refugee resettlement strategy that's being used to especially affect red or conservative voting blocks and areas. And this is not just happenstance. This is very well thought out, and we want to identify those and give you guys a plan of action. So we're joined by Barbara. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. And I want to give a little bit of background, if I might. The Refugee Yes. Act of 1980 is what established the Office of Refugee Settlement. This is not a new program. What is relatively recent about the program is that we are resettling a majority of Muslim population. And so we do have a history with what that entails. And concurrent to the resettlement, you have all the other legislation that has come out, presidential mandates, for instance, with Bill Clinton, that requires that we provide translators to anyone who doesn't speak English, and that's terribly expensive. So yeah. When you look at the programs, not only are they impacting the very nature of who lives here, the demographic, but financially it's devastating to small communities. And North Idaho, I recently gave a speech, and I compared a town in Maine, Lewiston, Maine, that is very similar demographically to Coeur d'Alene. And when I looked at the two, I realized that, in fact, Coeur d'Alene and the surrounding area is perfect for this program. Lots of infrastructure, good hospitals, schools, transportation, et cetera, et cetera.
Liberals so, taking over the city council, all that. Human
right.
rights
and
groups
it is not,
entrenched.
So it's not surprising that there is a huge push to resettle northern Idaho. Southern Idaho has already been settled, not in huge numbers, but with a base population of less than 1.7 million, it really won't take very much to turn the state blue. And maybe more importantly, deprive people of a place to live where you can live your life the way you'd like to.
Mm. And that's definitely on their agenda. Okay,
absolutely.
because we're comparing, say, Coeur d'Alene to another model, say, sister city in Maine, to look at the demographics and the economics and everything to say we're perfect for it. Does that mean it really will? They'll actually try it, or it just could happen. Let's talk about what's going on right now with this.
Well, they
this
are push. Trying it. It is happening. Let me talk. Idaho is a Wilson Fish state. That means, yay, many years ago in the 80s, Idaho abdicated their oversight of the resettlement program. And apparently, once you do that, it's in perpetuity, even whether a state wants to withdraw or not. There are nine major contractors, and I'm going to call them contractors. They're called voluntary agencies, and most of them have Christian names in them. So it's Catholic Charities, Lutheran Services, et cetera, et cetera. Most of these organizations get a minimum of 85% of their total funding from tax dollars. So I want to make it really clear, this is not Christian charity.
Right.
These are groups that are bringing pressure on Christians to support really something that is akin to an invasion. And it's big business. It is literally a multi-billion-dollar business, and everything I'm saying to you this morning is available on the internet, and some of it. And later, we'll give out my email address. You can actually go out to whitehouse.gov and get a 70-page document that lays it all out. It's not a secret. It's
right.
just not a secret. This is happening. So the VOLOGs, the voluntary agencies, are allowed to place or resettle within a 100-mile radius of their office. So the nearest office here is Spokane, and that's World Relief, which is an evangelical group.
Hmm.
I heard through the grapevine, we'll call it that, that there were going to be some Syrians resettled in St. Mary's area.
Yeah,
now,
so I keep hearing that as well.
One of the resettling is you have to have a place for people to live, and you need, generally speaking, some sort of industry. In the south of Idaho, it's been big meat. Meatpacking plants frequently find that refugees, Somalis, you name it.
Nigerians, Syrians, it goes on and on.
Absolutely. Every group that's ever been resettled here frequently will go and work in those industries. They work for less than the going rate typically, but it's not low-cost labor. What it is subsidized labor.
Exactly.
Our tax dollars subsidize that corporation's payroll because we, in turn, are providing them with every service that is available to an American and sometimes more. So there is some housing in that area. I did not see when I actually drove out there and looked around. And but then I heard that there is a wood pellet plant going in. Now, I don't know that much about that industry. It's being built by a dome, and I haven't been able to get a hold of them. So I don't know what kind of employment opportunities will be there, but I will guarantee you that if they do begin to resettle refugees in that area, most of those jobs will go to refugees.
Yeah, because it'll be subsidized. It'll be incentivized for the employer.
That's right. And so the employer frequently is going to get a tax break in the South and maybe more. In
yeah.
the South, one of the big plants that broke ground, and I believe opens this coming year, and that is J.R. Simplot. And Simplot is big meat. It's a meat packing plant. They are going into CUNA, which already has some related industries. What's interesting, because you have to follow the money, we talked about that last night too, is that one of our senators here, Senator Mike Crapo, his third largest donor is Simplot. And when I dug down a little bit more, I found out that the governor's first wife's maiden name is Simplot. So there's a lot of incentive for the political class to go along with this. They're getting money, they're getting influence, they're getting jobs for families, they're getting careers for when they leave. Who knows?
Yeah.
So very little of these programs have to do with the benefit of the locals and of Americans. So here, it's insidious and looks to me, based on some information that I got, it looks to me as though not only is World Relief going to be placing refugees in the immediate vicinity, because obviously we're talking close proximity to Coeur d'Alene.
Right.
And it's all secret. The families are relocated or resettled basically one family or group at a time. So it's not as if a busload pulls up and somebody can be on the lookout and we say, oh, okay, we're going to protest or do whatever.
Right.
It's not like that. They're in their apartment, settled, signed up for every program available, because when they get off the plane, they're in the country legally.
Yep. Completely bypass the immigration process.
They've actually completed the immigration process. And in 5 years, they're eligible to apply to become citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really talking about, unlike previous approaches to helping refugees, which, by the way, I'm certainly in favor of, this is importing a permanent citizenship. this is the demographic change of a state, a country.
Yeah.
I have literally hundreds of examples of the negative effects of the of that.
Well, just look at Europe.
Dearborn
in the last
is almost too
month.
Easy because it's so big. But certainly it's had an effect in southern Idaho, and it's been a negative effect.
Yeah. Well, we've seen what's happened in Europe with this, Islamization of these different countries, you know, to make themselves feel better. And, of course, you know, there's financial incentives there, but they're paying the price culturally on the criminal front, every level. And by the time they say, oops, you know, maybe this wasn't so smart, it's too late. So they try to warn others like us, and we just completely – this is the spiritual warfare that I'm talking about, where we have a veil of deception pulled over our eyes. We will not – we cannot – we're not capable of making the correct decisions. And maybe this is part of our judgment. To be taken
well, I think
over
you have to be really
foreigners.
Careful. I really agree with what you're saying. I think that recently there was convoy. I'll give you an example. Convoy of Hope. That
yes,
came
let's
here.
Talk about that.
They came to Coeur d'Alene. They were at the fairgrounds. I spoke to someone yesterday who told me how good she felt about participating in that because that was helping locals. Well, when I dug down to see really who Convoy of Hope is, this is a George Soros funded, started sort of group, and very much refugee resettlement is part of what they're doing. But they've deceived us. And I think that a friend of mine this morning sent me this: take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's from Luke 21:8. And I think that's what Christians in Idaho have to be worried about. Just because somebody comes before you and they say, I'm part of a Christian group and we're doing this Christian outreach and we're going to minister to Muslims, you have to be willing to look into the group, find out really what their goal, what is their objective.
You've got an organization, this Convoy of Hope, that's funded and backed and started by somebody like George Soros, using scripture and, you know, Christian arguments, scriptural arguments to, persuade people to take people in, and they're swallowing it. They're saying this will be great. We are supposed to help the downtrodden, and look, we can share the gospel with them. So we're going to bring all these Muslims in and convert them. We'll share the gospel with them. How much of a success track record are you aware of in history with that being done? We'll just bring in all
pretty
these Muslims?
Pretty much zero. One of the things that's going on right now is you have a lot of individuals that are claiming to be Christian in Europe when they're not. And you have that here, too. I mean, I just think there's a lot of record of that. I read an interesting story the other day. A refugee in Sweden a year or so ago raped a 14-year-old girl. He did not want to be sent away. He, in prison, converted to Christianity, and now he is not being sent back because he's a Christian, and if he went back to Somalia or wherever, he would be persecuted. It's, if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. And so if you look at a country like Sweden, leads the world per capita in rape.
Yep. Yeah. 800%.
You have beautiful cities in Sweden that are no longer livable for Europeans. In our own state, we have an Uzbeki that came here and was a refugee. He was recently tried and convicted of terrorism. Now, he didn't blow anything up, but that was just a happy, a happenstance that worked out. He was convicted of three terrorism-related charges, and he worked to support a terrorist organization, and he gathered explosive materials in his Boise apartment. What if that had gone up? There has been, to my knowledge, one rape in around the college. It's very hard to get this information for the listeners. You'll read stories, and frequently it will be, the original stories on the Uzbeki is Idaho man arrested on terror charges. So the press is complicit in covering all of this, and it's really disheartening. You have to do a lot of work to combat it, but we have to do the work. If we don't do the work, we are surely, truly lost.
Yeah, and this Uzbeki, what they call the Idaho man, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Pamela Geller talked about this, and so did Ann Coulter. The family came here as so-called Christian refugees, fleeing, you know, for their lives. It turns out that they're Muslims. He's still, you know, corresponding with other Muslims, planning jihadist attacks, you know, in southern Idaho, specifically as Christians. Not that anybody would actually go on a terror rampage killing specifically Christians, but, you know, it could happen.
Well, and we'll look at the Tsarnaev brothers. I mean, they're the poster child for why this program is so flawed.
Yes.
The family came, the Bosnians, we did everything for them. You know, one of the things that I really want to make clear, these aren't individuals who come here and we put them to work necessarily. So when you get off the plane, there's a construct within the VOLOGs, the voluntary agencies, is that they stay with the refugee family and or group until they are self-sufficient. Self-sufficient to you and I mean we have a job, we rent an apartment, et cetera, et cetera. Self-sufficiency to the VOLOGs means that they have signed you up for every social welfare program that is available.
Yes.
In addition, I just want to say there are no illnesses that keep you from qualifying to come here as a refugee. So we are importing people who have mental illness, serious illnesses. Apparently there's a lot of kidney issues. One of the wish lists for most of the VOLOGs is that there are dialysis centers near.
Why is that?
Because they come, they're ill. You know, these are people from the third world. These are not people who have had good nutrition. They speak many languages. Most of them are not educated. If that's just a fact. Most of them are barely literate. Some of them are illiterate in their own languages. Mm-hmm. In Central California, there was an issue with a group who came, and of course we have to educate them, and they went into the schools, and what they discovered is that the group is what they call pre-literate. So, and this is this whole, you know, group of people from, and I don't recall the country. So they actually do not have the precondition of language, which is to have the concept of an abstract symbol for a sound.
Okay.
The cost to educate that group of people is extraordinary. Plus, they're very unhappy. They have a high suicide rate. It's really a tragedy that we as a country have not chosen to help these people in their own countries or someplace nearby where what they see and what they do every day is familiar. I think that's where our efforts need to go for refugees. This mass importation of the third world is not good. These are people who don't understand the concept of a representative form of government, for instance.
Yeah, or they don't want it. Many of them want Sharia.
Well, and there's absolutely. And you have Sharia. And there's quote after quote after quote from individuals who are interviewed that say Sharia should be the law of the land. And I'm talking about here in the United States. This is not just in Europe or in the Middle East.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, the problem is very easily identifiable. We can articulate that, and we will continue to, you know, keep developments and updates. We know that this convoy of hope is coming into the American Redoubt on a parade to, you know, sell the idea of you know, bringing in refugees. We know that there are communities where this is actually happening right here in Spokane. We've got, you know, an organization that is placing refugees, looking for a 100-mile radius to place refugees. Now, this comes down to what can we do about it? And we got about like 5 or 6 minutes. I want to talk about what actionable items that the patriots out there listening, how can they stop it? I mean, obviously we should be praying for wisdom and guidance, but we can't, you know, we can't have prayer without action as well. Action is required of us. What can we practically do without grabbing them by their ears and, you know, running them to the border and kicking them out?
Well, I think one thing, the first thing to do is to become knowledgeable about the issue.
Okay.
It's really hard to talk about. It's best to discuss it with people who don't understand it by giving them facts. I truly believe that.
But we're also dealing with
tell them what the numbers are and what's happening here for people in Idaho, what's happening here in Idaho. So that's the first thing. And you can do that. I'm available. I'd be happy to answer any questions, send you some of the white papers that I've written. It's North Idaho Pocket of Resistance at TWC.com.
No.
And if you do email me, I'm because of request, I'm producing a weekly newsletter, and I'll send that out. Once you understand it, I think it's a federal issue, but that doesn't mean we can't reach out locally. We've got to be sure that our representatives are, in fact, representing us. And so,
and how do they do that when they go to Olympia or they go to Boise? What are the tactics that we can be using? I love that name, too, by the way. I want to come back to that. North Idaho POR. And you got a newsletter you're going to be starting also. October 5th is when the first one goes out. So we've definitely got the tools to keep people informed. And Pocket of Resistance also came from – that's a term that the adversary chose because when they're trying to push this resettlement of refugees, there are people that don't want it in their communities, and that those that are on the side of this forced – recolonization are calling those of us who don't want it in our communities. They are literally using the term pockets of resistance to refer to us. And I love that term. I'll gladly accept it. This is a pocket of resistance here in this. So that's very appropriately named. But, and we're going to post this also on Radio Free Redoubt in the highlights and resources posting. We're going to make this, this available, this website or this email address. Do you have a website set up right now?
It's, you know what, I'm not going to give it out. It's I took down my old one, and this is a new one that's being built. It'll be up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, perfect.
And,
so
and
they'll
I
be
will
able
send
to make
it out with the newsletter when that happens.
Perfect.
And when you and I spoke about it, I'm really clear on this. Everyone here in North Idaho, because I'm new to the state, certainly, or in Idaho, really, is very polite. And I think the time, you can be polite, but you can strongly state what you require of your representative. If there are no consequences to your city council, if there are no consequences to your local representative, if there's no consequence to your federal representative and senators, then we've lost. So my feeling is strongly worded letters that absolutely delineate what we want.
Let's talk about that. We've got about 1 minute left. What are some of those bulleted items? What do we want? What should we be telling our representatives? When you go to Boise, you had better do XYZ to stop this. What are those items?
Number one, the program needs to be suspended while it is reviewed. and there are bills out there. Babin's bill wants to do that.
Which program
it's
needs to
full
be suspended?
Of fraud and misrepresentation, and your representative needs to do that. Here in the state of Idaho, I would ask every representative to look into Wilson Fish, the status, and what can be done.
Wilson Fish is the program that we need to repeal because that takes any say out of our hands, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Right. The program is so cloaked. We are entitled to an abstract every fiscal year, and I haven't gotten one abstract from any office I've ever called. So that's another thing. I mean, I think you have to ask every single one in the state of Idaho to contact a Volog and say, I want the abstract for 2016. It's too late now, really, but at least get it. I mean, I can't even find the current ones that are being approved. And demand that your representatives and senators do their job. Part of their job is to have oversight on this program. The first committee hearing on this program occurred on October the 1st, and it's the first one since 2011. Since 9/11. So this has been going on in secret, unsupervised since 9/11.
Well, hopefully we can shed some light on this and make people aware and inform. Our representatives and senators can't know everything about everything. We need to inform them. They need our help, and they've asked for it. They've said, I don't understand all of this stuff, but there are subject matter experts out there who do understand. They do know the research. We can boil this down to them for them to present to them, this is what's going on, this is what it means, and this is what can be done about it. And we really need to decentivize this and protect our culture at all costs because our existence is on the line here. Barbara, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll do it again. We are out of time, but God bless you and the work that you're
Thank
doing.
You.
North Idaho POR at TWC.com. We will link it. Join us tomorrow night for our 8 p.m. podcast. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. God bless.